I've heard an old, old story, how a satyr came from glory, how he gave life on Calvary to save a wretch like me. I've heard about his groaning, of his precious blood's atoning. Then I repented of my sins and won the victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He saw me and bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me ever.
I heard myself. So I thought it was coming through this mic. Okay, now y'all can hear me. The fervent prayer of the righteous availeth much. We understand that God gave us the gift of the Holy Spirit inside of us. It's part of Him that we carry with us. When we obey the gospel and become Christians, it gives us an opportunity to become His children. And we're boldly approach the throne through our mediator, of course, Jesus Christ. But we're able to boldly approach that throne. And we have a power. I'm telling you, you look at these superheroes like Marvel, Wonder Woman, Superman. We're all that. What we have is the power of prayer. And let me tell you, prayer moves mountains when you have faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, but the evidence of things not yet seen. We can't see it. The just shall live by faith. And let me tell you, it's a wonderful thing. Let's look at the book of Job, because I feel before I even go to the story, I have to go to the book of Job. And we have to get this down and understand what's going on. And as soon as I get this down, you're going to understand what happened to Brother Eric and why, and how he has been glorified in the last 3 weeks more than I think I've glorified him in the last 15 years as being a pulpit minister. And that's my own fault, and we'll go through that, but God straightened that out when he hit my head against that wall, okay? Let's go to Job. All right, so we know in the book of Job, there was a man in the land of Oz, some people say, whose name was Job. That man was perfect, and that's blameless, and upright, and the one that feared God and eschewed evil. So he didn't want to do anything evil. He wanted to obey the word of God. He's a good man. He's upright, right? And there were born unto him 7 sons and 3 daughters. This man has 10 kids, 7 sons, his namesake, 3 beautiful daughters that can, you know, have babies and things of that nature. This man is well blessed, okay, with his family. His substance also 7,000 sheep and 3,000 camels and 500 yoke of oxen and 500 she-asses and a very great household, so that this man was the greatest of all the men in the east. So in the eastern region, this man was the greatest, the richest man that was in the east. So he had prominence, he had power, he had influence. I'm sure like a lot of the billionaires, they're able to give and help in organizations. So he's well known. Everybody knows him. He's charitable, all these things. And his sons went and feasted in their houses every one his day, and sent and called for their sisters to eat and drink and with him. And when it was so, when the days of their feasting were gone about, that Job and I'm speeding because I need to get through this. I need to get through 3 chapters here. We're going to do chapters 1, 2, and 3, then we're going to conclude. And it was so when the days of their feasting were gone about, that Job sent and sanctified them and rose up early in the morning and offered burnt offerings according to the number of them all. For Job said, it might be that my sons have sinned and cursed God in their hearts, their minds, right? Thus did Job continually. Good parents, isn't it wonderful to be able to go to God and pray for your kids just in case they might have done something against him? That's how good this guy is. Not only is he offering sacrifice for himself, but he's offering sacrifice for his kids in case they might have cursed God and done something in their hearts, their mind, okay? Not even physically, just in their minds. And I take that at heart, and I do that for my kids. Now, verse 6. Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan also among them. And the Lord said unto Satan, whence comest thou? Then Satan answered the Lord and said, from going to and fro in the earth and from walking up and down it. I mean, he's all over the earth trying to look for stuff. You know, it ain't nothing good if Satan's going around just like a robber that's going to rob your house. He's looking to see if he can get in, what he can do to be able to take and steal and rob from you. Okay, verse 8 says, and the Lord said to Satan, has thou considered my servant Job? So now Job didn't bring attention to himself. God did, right? God said to Satan, hey, have you considered my servant Job? Who's Job? An upright man, a man that's he's blessed, okay, by God. But he's a guy that eschews evil. He stays away from evil and follows the commandments of God. He's a good man. He's an upright guy, right? So now Satan, God has put Satan, put a spotlight on Job in front of Satan. And so in verse 9 it says, then Satan answered the Lord and said, doth Job fear God for naught? He don't fear you for no reason, buddy. There's a reason that he fears you. And he says, in 10, hast thou not made a hedge of protection over him? You're protected. About his house, about that he has, everything on his side, all his possessions. He got all that fancy family. 7 kids that are males. 3 of those are females. He's got all those she-asses and camels and everything. You bless this guy. Come on, God. You trying to lift up this guy here that you've blessed so much and tell me that he's obeying you? Yeah, he's obeying you, God, because you blessed him, God. And that's the only reason he's obeying you, God, because you put a hedge of protection over his life, God. Now, that's what Satan's saying. That is, bless his words. This is verse 10. The works of his hands, his substance is his creed. In other words, he's very successful, and you did it, God. That's the only reason this man obeys you. But Satan thinks, in verse 11, but put forth thy hand now and touch all that he had, and he will curse thee to your face. That's what Satan wants to do for us, right? Okay, how many of us are homeless? Raise your hand. How many have been homeless? Raise your hand. Lost your job, no money, you know, at all. You lost everything you ever had, okay? Yeah, a lot of us have been there. A lot of us are still there, right? But see, this is the opportunity that the devil wants to use to break you. He wants to break your allegiance to God. I'm looking at everyone in here. If you're in that situation, the devil is trying to break your allegiance to God. Why are you still worshiping the God that's still not doing anything for you? You're still on the streets. You still don't have anything. You're still in pain. You're still suffering. Okay? How many of us wake up with pain and pain 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, wishing the good Lord Almighty would come so we can take away that pain? Yeah, we live in pain every day. Before the accident, I was in pain. Good Lord, I didn't even feel any pain in my neck. They were asking me, you feel any pain? No, because I'm used to pain. I've been having pain for like 20-some-odd years because of accidents, you know. It's just something I learned to live with. But the devil will try to break your allegiance by what your circumstances on this earth are. This is nothing about the circumstances on this earth, right? We're servants. Serve God. Whatever capacity you're in, we serve God. If you're hit, if you're in pain, use that pain. Now you're more empathetic with somebody that has pain. You already have sympathy, now you have empathy. Okay, that's my situation. I have no regrets. After I hit my head in the wall, best thing ever happened to me, okay, was this spinal cord injury. I've never praised God. I've never been as close to God, and it's just been bringing edification to him. Okay, praise God, and that's all it is. He's good. He's merciful, and we'll get to that real quick. So anyway, here, let's see what the devil does. In verse 12, and the Lord said to Satan, behold, all that he has is in thy power, only upon himself. Okay, don't touch his body, but you can touch everything else, right? He says, it's in your power. Only upon himself put not forth thy hand. So Satan went forth from the presence of the Lord. Now, this is what Satan's going to do. Look at verse 13. And there was a day when the sons of his daughters were eating and drinking wine in their eldest brother's house. And there came a messenger to Job and said, thy oxen were plowing and thy asses feeding beside them. And the Sabaeans fell upon them and took them away. Yea, they have slain thy servants with the edge of the sword. And I only am escaped alone to tell thee. Took all of his possessions, killed all of his servants. And 16, this is how the devil works. You're dealing with a tragedy already, okay? And now he's going to add something on top of that while you're dealing with something you're already dealing with. And then when you're dealing with that, he's going to keep adding and adding and adding, trying to break you down. That's how he works. So this is a tactic of Satan. Verse 15 says, and the Sabaeans fell upon him. 16 says, while he was yet speaking, now he's giving Job this bad news, now somebody else comes. In 16, while he was speaking, there came also and said, a fire of God is fallen from heaven and hath burned up the sheep and the servants and consumed them. And I only alone has escaped alone to tell thee. Verse 17, while he was yet speaking, there came another and said, the Chaldeans made out 3 bands and fell upon the camels and had carried them away, yea, and slain the servants with the edge of the sword. And I only am escaped alone to tell thee. And while he was speaking, verse 18 says, there came also another and said, thy sons and thy daughters were eating and drinking wine in thy eldest brother's house. And behold, there came a great wind from the wilderness and smote the 4 corners of the house, and it fell upon the young men, and they are dead. and I am escaped alone to tell thee. Wow. Talking about a man that had everything and in a split second lost everything he had. His possessions, his family. Let's see what Job's reaction to that was in verse 20. Then Job arose, he rent, that means he tore his mantle, his robe, the one that goes on the, over the front. He shaved his head, he fell down upon the ground, and then he said, woe is me, oh, woe is me, why God? Is that what it said? What did he do? He worshiped. He worshiped the mighty God. Okay? And that's the lesson. We worship God. Verse 21, what did he say? He said in verse 21, and said, naked, he worshiped and said, naked came I out of my mother's womb. When all of us were born as infants, how did we come to this world? With diamond rings and Gucci watches, right? And fancy shoes, fancy suits. Money in the bank account. Well, some babies are born with money in the bank account, but that's another thing. But the baby didn't come out with money on it, right? Baby came out naked. So we went out naked, we go naked, you come in the world with nothing, you go in the world with nothing. You get leave the world with nothing, right? So naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return. The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. All those cattle and sheep, where do you get them from? The Lord. The Lord owns all that. All the wealth he had, he owned. The Lord had it. And everything we've had, possession-wise, was given to us by the Lord. Let's go to chapter 2. And again, there was a day when the sons of God came and presented themselves before the Lord, and Satan came among them and presented himself before the Lord. And the Lord said to Satan, from whence comest thou? And Satan answered to the Lord and said, from going to and fro the earth, from walking up and down it. And the Lord said to Satan, hast thou considered my servant Job? Why did God do that again? Why did God, poor Job just went through all of that and he survived. Okay, he lost everything, all of his possession, his children, but he still didn't curse God. He still didn't blame God. And so he made it through this big test, right? But God's bringing him up again. Why? Because Satan said, if you take everything away from me, he'll curse you to your face. So God's going, he didn't curse me to my face. He worshiped me. But the devil's got something for God again. In verse 3 it says, and the Lord said to Satan, hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect man, an upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil, and still, after all you did to him, Satan, and still he holdeth fast his integrity, although thou movest me against him to destroy him without cause. Did you get that part? That the Satan moved God against his own servant Job. Let us not be confused. When things happen to us, let's not just give it to Satan. Satan doesn't have any power. God allowed Satan to be able to do what he did to Job. God allowed Satan, and I'll tell you about that later, to do what he did with me, but it worked in reverse, okay? And it worked in reverse with Job as well. So I'm not going to give Satan the glory. I give God the glory, okay? He used Satan. Just like in Pharaoh, God hardened Pharaoh's heart. Why? So that all those miracles could be done and we could talk about what happened in Egypt for the remainder of our days on this earth. Nobody will ever forget the plagues that happened in Egypt, right? But see, if God had not hardened Pharaoh's heart, all those miraculous acts would not have taken place. So God is the one that's in control, even of Satan. Satan's being used and doesn't know it. You see what I'm saying? He's being used. God is the one in power. So if God has every perfect and every good gift, it's from above. When I hit my head in that wall, that was a perfect and good gift. God knew exactly what he was doing, and I'll explain why he did it later. And Satan answered the Lord, skin for skin. Yea, all that a man has, he'll give for his life. But, Kelly always says big word, but. Put forth thy hand, now touch his bone and flesh, and he'll curse you in your face. So Satan said, God, if you take away everything he has, he'll curse you in your face. He didn't curse God. Now Satan said, okay, now if you touch his body, what does that mean? Give him cancer, give him diabetes, Give him heart pressure. Give him a neurological disorder. Give him a congenital abnormality. Let him be born with something that he got to live with for the rest of his life, that gives him pain for the rest of his life, that he wishes every day, God, either take away the pain or take me. I'm in pain. That's what I'm learning. Yes, went through some stuff, but it pales in comparison. There's other people more important. You'll hear there in a little bit. Let me get through this. And the Lord says, Satan, behold, he is in thy hand, but save his life. You can do whatever you want to do to Job. You just cannot kill him. That's what God gave the devil, the ability to touch him without killing him. So what did old Satan do in verse 2? We're in Job chapter 2, verse 7. Excuse me. I'm kind of mixed in the head here. So went Satan forth from the presence of the Lord and smote Job with sore boils from the sole of his foot to his crown. Have you ever had a blister on the bottom of your foot? Okay, just have one blister. Your day is ruined, okay? Your life is ruined with two blisters, okay? Try blisters from the top of from the bottom of your feet to the top of your head, all over your body. Blistering. And that's what these boils were on him. And he has these Job with sore boils from the sole of his foot to his crown. In verse 8 it says, he took with a potsherd and scraped himself. When it gets all crusty, scraping his body, and he scraped himself. Then he said to his, then said his wife unto him, dost thou still retain thy integrity? Curse God and die. What's wrong with you? So the devil tried to hit him by taking everything from him, all of his possessions, his children. This man went from the richest man in Asia to broke. He went from a healthy family of 10 kids, seven boys and three girls to nothing. And now all of a sudden he's got sores from the top of his head to the bottom of his feet. Where's he going to sit down? He can't sit down. He's got boils on his buttocks. Is he going to lie on his side? No, there's boils there too. Is he going to stand on his feet? No, there's boils under there. How's this man going to rest? How's he going to sleep? He didn't. He was in pain 24/7, in agony and misery, and sit by the fireplace and scrape the sores off of his body. In verse 10 it says, he said unto thou, so here's his wife. So Satan hits him with his finances and his family. Satan hits him with his body. That means he hits you with some kind of disease and disorder of your body. Then he hits you with somebody that loves you. This is Job's wife telling him, Job, be encouraged, right? God is good. You'll get through this. Is she doing that? No. She said, curse God and die. So the devil used his finances and his possessions against him. The devil used health issues against him. And now the devil's using his wife to get him. And then later on, we'll find out that he has three friends that are supposed to come in, Eliphaz being the oldest one, and they were supposed to help him. And they end up trying to discourage him and falsely accusing him of some secret sin. But that's, we've studied that. Now, this man is miserable. Verse 10 says, but he said to it, and I love this part. Here's a wife saying, curse God and die. But this is his response to his wife. Job says, but he said unto her, thou speakest as one of the foolish women speaketh. What? shall we receive good at God's hand? Okay, shall we receive good at the hand of God? And shall we not receive evil? And all this did Job not sin with his lips. He did not curse God. He did not leave allegiance to God. And he did not blame God. Okay? And now, then Job's three friends heard of all the evil. They came. Okay, so Eliphaz, we understand they're there and they sit there. Let's go to verse 3. And I'm just going to go a little bit in this and then I'm going to go to the story. Okay. After this, Job opened his mouth and cursed the day. And Job spake and said, let the day perish where I was born, and the night in which it was said, there is a man child. All of chapter 3, we understand. This is a man who is miserable, who has lost everything he ever had, who basically has been struck with this sores and boils all on him, and his wife is telling him to curse God and die. He's going to have friends that the devil is going to use to try to use their philosophy of the day to falsely accuse him of some secret sin. So the devil's still trying to break Job. But in the end, Job is human, right? If you feel that you wish you had never been born, how many of us have been there? I'm going to be a teenager. I said, goodness, my mother never should have told me that I was one of those freak of natures. A doctor had never seen anything. 25 years of practice. He said when he was giving birth to Eric, who you're looking at right now, I turned around in my mother's womb and went back in. And when I did, the umbilical cord was wrapped around my neck. And so when I came out, I was not breathing. They had to resuscitate me because I choked myself. He said, I'd never seen anything about it. That kid went back in. So apparently Eric wasn't ready for the world. When my mother told me that, I said, I'd gone through some stuff, and I said, you know what? I wish I'd never been born. I said, God, wouldn't that have been great? I didn't want to fail. I was living for Satan at the time, and I was a punk rocker, and I don't know too many people know about that, but I was on a path to destruction. I was in darkness. I was confused, and if I died, I went straight to hell. I was worshiping Satan 24/7. God didn't have no place in my life for a while. And so I wish I'd never been born, because the thought is, I knew in a drunken stupor, if I died while I was sleeping, I was going to wake up. As soon as I died, I was going straight to hell. I knew that. And it's frightening to think you're going to burn. You know you're going to burn in hell because you have not done what God asked you to do, right? So it's a frightening thing. Now let's go to I'm going to go ahead and we're going to conclude here. Y'all understand that we were studying the book of Job in here before this accident happened. My finances for the last 18 years have been destroyed. I went from a respiratory therapist working in a hospital, making really good money, to basically working in home health, making okay money, to basically being unemployed, offering jobs, going from a job offering me close to $30 an hour to $7 an hour, you know. Not being able to get any work because I'm overly qualified, and unemployment was my future. I'm always unemployed, okay? Nobody's hiring me. My industry's collapsed. And I'm too specified, too high paid, nobody needs me, especially when I became a manager. So 35 years of respiratory experience, 16 years in the hospital, 15 years in home health. I was a manager of a DME company, home health, and durable medical equipment company. All that, the guy hired me for my resume and paid me the lowest I was ever paid in my life. So I was getting paid almost $30 an hour. This guy paid me $18 an hour and gave me like 6-7 different positions. So it was just got progressively worse. But for the last 35 years, I've been burning the candle at both ends, 7 days a week, working jobs that basically just you live there, 12 and a half hours, 13, on call, the whole bit. I have not been able to give my time to God. So on September the 11th, which is 9/11, at 9/11, I've been sleep deprived because my school, I work as a school bus driver. I got a CDL. I went 2 years to IT school. I got my diploma in networking engineering and Network Plus. I got a certification, A+ certification, the whole bit. But a 50-year-old guy, okay, with no IT experience, nobody's interested in. So, we're all volunteer here, so I have to work. Because we can't afford to pay salary here at Main Street. So I've been here for 25 years altogether. You know, 25 years serving this congregation, and I've tried to support myself, you know, in jobs. But these jobs, every time you get a new job, they require more and more of your time. They give you less money, but they take more of your time. That's just what's going on in America right now. The middle class is sinking, and that's just the way it is. So I had been sleep deprived, and I said, I'm going to go to bed early. I'm going to get up. I'm going to be asleep for the first time since school started in August. So I went to bed. Everything had two new pillows from Aldi's. Everything's great. And so all of a sudden, smoke alarm. I said, nothing but the devil. And at the time, I'm saying, I'm giving the credit to the devil. I know it's God now. Nothing but the devil would make that smoke alarm go off at 1 in the morning when I got to wake up at 4 in the morning. Get to bed at 5, get to work at 5:30, and get off at 6. That's my life. Then I'm developing television, some things I'm doing on the Saturday, a lot of personal stuff and trying to develop things in business. And then Sunday, I'm here for about 11 hours. So I never have a day off. It's 7 days a week, and it's been that way for 35 years. And so basically, that alarm goes off. I put my earplugs on. It goes straight through the earplugs. I'm like, oh, my God. So I jump up, I'm angry, and I turn the light on, I try to reach it, I can't reach it. So I have to stand on the bed, I stand on the bed, take it off, throw it down, you stupid alarm. I crisscross over to the light, pull the switch, belly flop like a 10-year-old kid to go back to sleep, hit the wall, snap my neck back. When I did, it went dark. I heard the snap. It was dark. There was illuminated like a little round light, but it wasn't bright. It was like just illuminated, and it went dark. And I could not feel anything from my neck down. That was the weirdest experience. I could feel my face. My hands went like jelly, and I felt these big, fat hands on my face, but I couldn't feel anything below my neck. And at that point, I'm like, oh, no, no. Oh, my God, no, not paralyzed. I'm like, I'm paralyzed for the rest of my life over a smoke alarm that went off, and this horror came over me. And what I realized, like the book of Job in chapter 3, he at the end of chapter 3, Job reveals something. That the stuff that the devil did to him in chapter 1 and 2 was his biggest fear. Guess what Eric's biggest fear was? Being paralyzed. Because he got a job in 1984 as a respiratory therapist in Baylor Hospital. And the floor that I was on, there was people that were paralyzed. And I said to myself, God, blow my brains into a million pieces before I ever be paralyzed. That is a living hell on earth. To be paralyzed, not be able to take care of yourself, and live and have your consciousness, but never be able to move a single part of your body. That became my biggest fear. I locked it up and hid it in a closet for over 35 years. The devil found it and tried to use it against me. But guess what? It only worked in reverse. So I'm paralyzed. I'm crying out for help. My brother didn't hear me. For 30 minutes, I'm completely paralyzed. And so then after a while, you know, I'm like, okay, I'm thinking about it. I'm like, uh-oh, during this moment, I'm like, Eric, you're paralyzed. And I'm, no, God, you know, I can't be. And I'm like, this whole reality of being paralyzed for the rest of my life is hitting over me. And then all of a sudden, I'm like, uh-oh, Eric, you're not paralyzed. You're dead. You snapped your neck. You broke your neck. And then I'm thinking, but the angels didn't come for me yet. I'm saying, and then all this, I'm like, man, don't we serve such an awesome God? Amen. Here I'm supposed to be dead immediately, but he's keeping me alive for this time so that I can repent. And I'm like, oh, thank you, God. Thank you for allowing me to be a member of the body of Christ. Thank you for me being able to boldly approach the throne. Okay, yeah, let me get to it. Okay, please forgive me for all the sins that I've committed knowingly and unknowingly. And I'm so happy. I'm like, oh, he didn't kill me right away. He gave me this time. And so I was waiting on the angels to come get me. They didn't come get me. So at this time, okay, I'm paralyzed. That's my biggest fear come true. What do? I'm like, dude, you're 52 years old. I'm 53 now. It's before my birthday. You're 52 years old. You had nothing major happen. If that's your lot, that's your lot. Get over it. And I started praying for everybody else that's in a whole lot worse condition than me. I said, thank you, God, for allowing me to be able to research what happened with Hurricane Dorian and how Hurricane Dorian went in there and wiped out the Bahamas. I said, there's people with beams that fell on them that's paralyzed like you, and nobody's going to come for them. But the insects and the reptiles, they'll be eaten alive. There's dead bodies they found out there rotting. I said, Eric, you are blessed. You're in America. And in 4 hours, your brother's going to, the alarm's going to go off. You're not going to answer. He's going to come in. He's going to call the paramedics. You live in America. You're fine. I just got the focus off of Eric, and I started praying for everybody else. Did that for 30 minutes straight. So I'm paralyzed for an hour. Then after that, I'm thinking, you know what? I don't accept this. I'm not going to accept being paralyzed. I said, God, you said if we have the faith of a mustard seed, we can move mountains, and not by my power, but by your power. I said, you have given me the opportunity to investigate scientists that have found out that we have one thing in our body that's a bone, the bone, the ribs. The question was, why did God go to the man's rib to make woman? Guess what? The rib is the only bone in the body that can reproduce itself because it has stem cells in it. And so I knew that. I said, thank you for that knowledge. I said, God, please, by not my word, but by your power only, release the stem cells from my ribs. And I pray that they will go and heal me from the top of my head to the bottom of my feet. And when I did, I felt tingling sensations in the fingers. And they went down the hands and to the arm on the right side. Then they went to the left. And then that somehow, whatever position I was in, I felt the right leg moving. But the only thing that didn't move was the left. I said, okay, good. Thank you, Father. I said, maybe this is temporary. Maybe it's like a boxer that gets knocked out. They go limp, and then they come back. So after a while, you know, I'm praying. I'm feeling good at this point. I said, well, I don't have any feelings in my hands and everything, but I got my arms. I can work. So I scooted off the bed on the floor. I got the good foot, put the bad foot up on the wall, and tried to wake it up, but it didn't. So at that point, I'm getting dizzy, and I realize, okay, Eric, you're not going to just pop up out of this. This is not a temporary thing, because I was going to go. I was basically hoping I could roll on the floor, adjust myself, get everything back, jump in bed, get a couple of more hours of sleep, and just go to work and pretend it never happened. Because I said, well, my brother never woke up, so he don't know. I'm not going to tell anybody. I snapped my neck. I was just going to go back to work. That's a stubborn Eric. But I struggled on the floor for 4.5 hours. And before my brother would discover me. So it happened at 1, and he didn't discover me until 5:35. So he noticed I wasn't there. I propped myself up. I went through the dry heaves, the whole bit. I knew it was serious, but I just sit and waited. At least I'm going to be found eventually, right? And he came in, and I told him what happened. We got the paramedics. It was rough. 7 guys trying to see this 357-year-old fat guy on the ground. How are we going to get this tub of lard off the ground and through this door, you know, onto the gurney outside? So it was 7 of them. Took a while. It wasn't a pleasant experience, but when I got to Medical City, God had his angels in place. In place. And I never had a negative moment. Everybody was sent by God. That emergency room was full. They thought they were trying to find out who the celebrity was at Medical City. It was me. And now I had an opportunity for all my brothers and sisters in Christ, my co-workers, my friends, to show me their love. All of y'all did that, praying for me, sending warm, you know, your compassion, and telling everybody you're praying for me, you love me, you miss me. Let me tell you, it was a beautiful moment. And God, Eric was completely lost. I realized, like, oh, wait a minute, he's using me. I didn't hear Eric. It was, oh, God got the glory. I'm like, thank you, Father. You did this so that I, as your servant, can bring glory to you. Then I started thinking in scriptures, like, that's what it's all about. Okay, every person that he's chosen brings glory to him. Okay? And so that's what it's about, is being a servant. I've never felt so close. I'm telling you, I ministered more in that 3-week period than I ever was. He's trapped now. People that just didn't believe at all. 3 hours I'm preaching and talking to the kingdom of God. I reached people that I could never reach, working 7 days a week, running it like a chicken with my head cut off. God put my head in that wall. He slowed me down. He directed my path. And everything is good. There's nothing negative. You know, with the pain, Eric was born a very sympathetic person. If your tummy hurts and you're around me, I'm going to find it out, because I'm a people person. And if you hurt, I hurt. I had that ability. But what I did not have was empathy. I didn't know what neuropathy feels like. It feels like they tried to explain. I said, have you ever had frostbite? And 95% of the people didn't know what frostbite was. They had to tell me, Eric, you're in Texas, okay? I was frustrated. I'm like, that's the only way I can explain it. I said, okay, frostbite. Your hands are numb, you have needles sticking all in your hands, and cacti, when people touch you, it's like the cactus is pushing in, and I put my hand in a fryer pan and fried it. So everything feels like it's burned, I can't describe the pain, right? But now I have empathy for people who have that people I visited, that I didn't know what that felt like. I didn't know what the big needles to the stomach. I got sore. I got bruises all over, but I'm happy. Everything that happened to me, all the pain and suffering, everything, I'm happy. Why? God put it in a way. It's like, Eric, now you know how it feels. I'm like, well, great. I'm going to be a better servant now. So now I have sympathy and empathy, right? I have a neurological disorder. And I don't know what the fate is. Going through physical therapy. Then the surgeons will see me, and I'll find out. Job, all that stuff, God is working, bills. I mean, I'm experiencing things. God is allowing me to be a better servant. He slowed me down, redirected my path, and I'm telling you, since I hit that wall, I've never been happier. Do not feel sorry for Eric. Eric is on the path to glory. What happened at the end of Job? We haven't got there yet. What did he do? He blessed Job with his kids twice. The kids were twice as, his sons were twice as handsome. And they said his daughters that he received were the most beautiful daughters in all of Asia. And if he had 5,000 sheep, he had 10,000 sheep. You know, God doubled everything. And that's what he's doing with me. He's directing my path. There's nothing but good. I had people of different religious faiths that want me to go and give my testimony. I will do that. But I'm representing the Church of Christ. And I want you to understand something that happened with the Gagger. What's her name? The police officer.
Amber Gagger.
That is huge. And that is an opportunity for us. The Church of Christ is in a spotlight right now. A positive spotlight. This gives us an opportunity. Church of Christ was at Medical City. The Miracle Boy was at Medical City. When I had the CAT scan and I had the MRI, I have a congenital abnormality I didn't know about. A very narrow space for the spinal cord. The spinal cord needs to be not touching the bone. It has to be in a big place where it can free hang. So if something happens, it can swell without being compressed. But because I have an extra groove, because I have a congenital abnormality, it immediately froze. I mean, it immediately started compressing, killing off the cells, which means technically, clinically, I should be paralyzed for the rest of my life. I'm a freak of nature. We know why. Because Christians are. Okay? We are. And miracles don't fit the medical model. So everything about me went against the medical model, and it can only bring glory to God. And there was not one doctor of any faith that could deny that this was God. And everybody wanted to come in the room and see who was in that room. Why is this guy so positive? Why is he getting better every day? What is this freak of nature? Okay, it's called a miracle. And that is what I am. I am a miraculous thing that they can't explain. The surgeons don't want to touch me. They don't know. They're like, okay, let's just let them stay on the steroids and see what happens. They don't want to touch me. They're afraid to touch me because I don't meet the medical model. It's something different about me. Does anybody here know what the difference about me is? Okay, I'm a Christian, a member of the Church of Christ. And let's let that be known. Let's let people know there's something different in the body of Christ. It's happening. Okay, we got international eyes on us right now because of the Amber Gagger case. And let me tell you, and they got eyes on me because of what happened in Medical City. Not only did I say I want everybody on the floor to have the miracle too, and I asked them, and it did happen. Okay? I want you to leave with this. We have the power that we have is prayer and faith. And you can move mountains. And that's what it is. And if it's a gift from God, regardless of what it looks like, this don't look like a gift from God. It is. It is. If it brings glory to God, it's a gift. So may God add a blessing to the study of Job, the reading of his word, and this, my sharing with my brothers and sisters, how God has put my head through a wall, slowed me down, redirected my path, and gave me the opportunity to be the best minister that I could possibly be. And I want to keep this to the day I die. I've never felt closer. I'm happy. Don't feel sorry for me. Just look at your life and see how you can be used as well in your situation to bring glory to God. That's all I have. Amen.